The reading comes from 2 Corinthians 10, chapters 7 to 18.
There, who reckons himself or herself to belong to Christ, well, let them think again about themselves, because we belong to Christ just as much as they do. For I am not ashamed, even if I have boasted somewhat too much about the authority that the Lord has given us. Authority to build you up, not to tear you down. I do not want it to appear that I am trying to frighten you with my letters. Someone will say, Paul's letters are severe and strong, but when he is with us in person, he is weak, and his words are nothing. Such a person must understand that there is no difference between what we write in our letters and when we are away and what we will do when we are there with you. Of course, we would not dare to classify ourselves or compare ourselves with those who rate themselves so highly. How stupid they are. They make up their own standards to measure themselves by, and they judge themselves by their own standards. As for us, however, our boasting will not go beyond certain limits. I will stay within the limits of the work which God has set for us, and this includes our work among you. And since you are within those limits, we were not going beyond them when we came to you, bringing the good news about Christ. So we do not boast about the work that others have done beyond the limits God set for us. Instead, we hope that your faith may grow and that we may be able to do much greater work among you, always within the limits that God has set. Then we can preach the good news in other countries beyond you and shall not have to boast about work already done in someone else's field. But as the scripture says, whoever wants to boast must boast about what the Lord has done. For it is people of whom the Lord thinks well who are really approved, not people who think well of themselves.
Thank you, Simon. Let's pray together. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Look at the world today and the society in which we're a part. We spend our life comparing ourselves to others. We live in a world that loves to brag and draw attention to itself. People day by day publicize their lives on social media. We want people to see what we are doing. We like to elevate our accomplishments. We trumpet our achievements. Boasting is a human problem, and boasting is a problem Paul is dealing with in the church in Corinth. Here in our passage today, he deals with this idea of self-elevation and self-promotion. Now remember that Paul's critics are dismissive of him because he does not promote and elevate himself enough. And because he doesn't make much of himself, they believe that he cannot be an apostle of Jesus Christ. Surely an apostle of Jesus would go around proclaiming that he's an apostle of Jesus and call people under his authority. And Paul must deal with this criticism of himself at the same time dealing with how this kind of self-image and self-promotion and self-elevation is so ungodly. So Paul says, look at what is before your eyes. Paul is asking them to take a good look at the true facts. Some translations, like the Good News, translate it as you are looking at outward appearances. But the point that Paul is making is that they need to look at what is right in front of their eyes. Here's the evidence of the situation. In verse 7, Paul's starting point to destroying pride and self-promotion is this: just as he is Christ, so also are we. Where is the room for boasting? We are all one in Christ. You think you're something. What you are and what you have is because of Christ, and you are in Christ also. How can one Christian elevate themselves against another Christian? We're all one in Christ, and we're all equal in Christ. And Paul goes on to say that what he does is for building up and not for destroying. He says that his apostolic authority is not used for his own personal gain, but for building up the Corinthian church. And where does that authority come from? He says it comes from the Lord. Some Christians bring discord and destruction and disunity and divisions and problems. And Paul dealt with the divisions in the church in his first four chapters of the first letter to the Corinthians. There he reminded them this: if anybody destroys God's temple, God will destroy them, for God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Though Paul does not use his authority to hurt others, he does not use his authority to promote himself or assert himself, he does not use his authority to get his way or to damage or destroy the church. Paul says that his goal in his letters was not to frighten. He does not use personal fear. What we are in Christ is not to be used to destroy others or to promote oneself. What we are in Christ is so that we can build each other up. We should never use intimidation or fear to get people to do what we want. Those that do are only concerned with themselves and promoting themselves. Using fear and division and destruction as their weapons to achieve their selfish goals. Sounds like some of the whips in Parliament. Paul says that that is not what he does with his authority, nor what he does in his letters. He is the same in person as he is in his letters. He does not act one way with them, but write a different way. Remember that the Corinthians were mistaking Paul's humility and gentleness as a lack of apostolic power. And Paul uses his authority for good. Now you can see a certain sarcasm in verse 12. We couldn't possibly compare ourselves with some of these people who claim to be something in the Corinthian church. When they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding. To compare ourselves with others means we are without understanding. We have a limited understanding of Christ if we're constantly comparing ourselves with others. That's a challenge for me, and I'm sure one for you. Today we're in the week of prayer for Christian unity. And I often think within our churches we are good at comparing ourselves with others. Those we might consider to be better than us, more successful than us, or not as good as us. But what is the value of comparing ourselves to each other? We are all one in Christ. Can your nose compare itself to your mouth? Some things cannot be compared. What good is it to use each other as a standard of measurement? I am a saved sinner by God's grace, like you. So why would you compare yourself to me, or I compare myself to you? All it does is try to create a false reality because we want to elevate ourselves and there is no elevation in Christ. And that's where our pride and arrogance can come from. We compare ourselves to each other. But when you read on verses 13 to 16, you see what a difference boasting Paul has in mind. The critics are boasting in themselves, And Paul is boasting in the work God is doing through him. Paul reached the Corinthians with the gospel, and he takes joy in that. He sees what God has done in that. Paul says this is the work God had given him to do. And that's how we should look at our calling. What we do here is not about us. We should see what we do as the work God has given us to do. And we take joy in what God is accomplishing through us. The growth and strength of this church has nothing to do with me or you, but the work God is doing through us. Paul just wants the gospel to keep spreading, and he knows the Corinthians are part of that continuing work. And note that he doesn't take credit for what others are doing. It seems that his critics were taking credit for the Corinthians' faith, when it was God, through Paul's visits and writings, that had brought these Christians to faith. Paul's hope is that as their faith increases, that it gives them greater areas of influence. Paul's joy is not in himself or promoting himself. Paul's joy is that he can continue to do God's work. And here, Paul quotes from Jeremiah 9. And the actual verses from Jeremiah 9 are these. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise boast in their wisdom. Let not the mighty boast in their might. Let not the rich boast in their riches. But let they who boast, boast in this, that they understand and know me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. We boast in what God is doing. We just want to get to know God more. If you look at Paul's writings and in the book of Acts, there are lots of times Paul said that God was working through him. In Galatians, he said that if he was going to post, then it would be in the cross of Jesus. In his first letter to the Corinthians, he said, for I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. And in 2 Corinthians earlier, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. Our boast, our joy, our delight is in Christ, not in ourselves. We are just amazed that God would want to, could do anything with us and through us. And verse 18 says, the approved are those who are commended by God. All that matters is God's glory. It is God we want to glorify. And if God is glorified through me, then I recognize that it is not because of me, but because of how great God is. And that's the message of these final chapters in 2 Corinthians. God must be glorified. We live for God's commending, not the commending of humans. In Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, he wrote, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them. When you hear that, you might say that sounds like boasting, doesn't it? But notice what he says next. Though it was not I, but the grace of God, which is with me. And also in 1 Corinthians, and I read this passage from the translation, The Message. Take a good look, friends, at who you were when you got called into this life. I don't see many of the brightest and best among you, not many influential, not many from high society families. I don't either. Isn't it obvious that God deliberately chose men and women that the culture overlooks and exploits and abuses, chose those nobodies to expose the hollow pretensions of the somebodies? That makes it quite clear that none of you can get by with blowing your own horn before God. Everything we have, right thinking and right living, a clean slate and a fresh start, comes from God by the way of Jesus Christ. That's why we have the saying, if we're going to blow a horn, blow a trumpet for God. All this means taking the finger away from pointing at ourselves and instead lifting your finger to point at Jesus Christ raised up on a cross. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. I wonder what you'd rather have, to stand in one of the great stadiums of the world where 100,000 people, cameras flashing all around, people live streaming it with their mobile phones, everybody seeing it, and all at once they stand to applaud you. Or would you rather have God alone say, well done, good and faithful servant, well done. You are my child, my beloved.